so much for everyone for coming out, and thanks for the Grail for hosting us. I'm Kelsey Conway here, host of the Bengals Beat podcast. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts, and Cincinnati.com for all of your Bengals needs year round. I pretty much follow this guy around year round. I mean, I feel like I.
Well, this was your
really
idea. This was an unbelievable idea by Kelsey, and what an unbelievable turnout. To watch this podcast is the Bengals Beat podcast. Find it at Cincinnati.com.
All right. So before we, you know, really get into like your story and everything, why don't you tell the people in here where the proceeds for this hat go and why you decided to get into making hats, making your merchandise line, and why it's so important to you to do this?
So our charity is the CincyHat.com. And we provide an independent lifestyle for adults with developmental disabilities, most notably Down syndrome and autism. Currently, we can serve about 50 people. Through hat money and other donations, we now are able to triple our footprint. We're very excited about you. Thank you guys so much. It's unbelievable the support we've gotten from you, from this community. As I said earlier, you guys are amazing fans. It's an honor to be welcomed in your community. It's been a really fun year. It's going to be an even better one this year. And just a little back. Hootay! And we have the Village of Marici here tonight, which is the CincyHat.com. All goes to it. Colleen Reaney is the president of our organization. She started it. The only one of its kind in Indianapolis, in Indiana. So, and then we also have Matt Reaney here. He runs the CincyHat.com.
The most popular hat in Cincinnati. I will also mention, in case you missed the social media post, you can only get this red and white hat tonight. So if you're on the fence about buying the hat, buy it tonight because you won't be able to get it.
Can only get it tonight. We're not going to print anymore. We printed 400. We still have plenty up here. I'm signing all of them. Orlando's going to be here. He'll sign all of them, too. So let's get in line. The hat sales are open. We got stickers. 100% of all these proceeds goes directly to adults with disabilities.
So, Ted, as a professional athlete, you recognize the platform that you have. When you were first drafted, at what point during your career did you really immerse yourself into wanting to have a connection to the community, a nonprofit? Like, at what point in your career did you really say, I want to make this a priority to give back?
I think after rookie season, we did do an event with the Village of Marici, but it was probably 40 people at a brewery in Indianapolis. And I've had many different roles in the NFL. I've not always been the captain starting center. You know, I've been the sixth man. I've been, you know, off the bench, first 3 years. Thank you, sir. First 3 years of my career. So, but I felt like when we came to Cincinnati, it was the best time ever to join the Bengals organization, mm-hmm. coming off a Super Bowl appearance. And the fans here, it's very special. You guys come out, you show up, and you support causes. And a lot of people on our team have great causes. And I think football is such a driver of culture in a city, and nowhere embodies that more than Cincinnati. So we want to do our best for you and win a championship.
So let's start with, since you brought up Cincinnati, this wasn't your starting place. You know, you've really had to climb the ladder in your career. So let's go back to the free agency process last year. How did you end up in Cincinnati? Is it where you thought you were going to? What was that 24-hour period like for you when you became a free agent and then got the news you were signing with the Bengals?
So I was a free agent for 3 years in a row. I signed 3 one-year deals in a row. I didn't know I was going to turn 30 if I didn't sign one this year, so it was probably my last chance. And I didn't know I was going to come to the Bengals. We didn't really get any information before them, before the process. And Monday at noon when it opened up, I got a 513 call and was instantly excited because I'm from Indianapolis.
Yes, and you knew the 513 area code.
I did. And I was really excited about it. And I think I committed in like 10 minutes. It didn't take me much time. Yeah. I'm from Indianapolis, so being 2 hours away from my family is, very special to me. And
And that's why I feel like you're such a fit, because you're a Midwest guy at heart, and there's something special about the Midwest. And ever since you got here, you've really just dove in, and whether it be the locker room leader that you've become. I mean, even people don't know this, but Ted was voted by the Cincinnati media that interviews him every week as the media good guy. He's amazing to the media.
We got Rob this year, the national award.
So unfortunately, he didn't get the whole NFL award, but next year we're going to make it happen. But it just feels like everything you've worked for, whether it be on the field play, plus your leadership now on the off the field stuff, everything's just kind of come together in Cincinnati. Am I right?
It has, and life changed significantly. My friends joke with me, I was a Boston D-lister, but I'm a Cincinnati A. So I really appreciate that about you guys. That makes it a lot of fun.
So let's go back to Boston. What are some of, the main storyline when you signed was that the Bengals immediately got guys between you and Alex Kappa, two guys that had blocks for Tom Brady. You are very aware of the comparison that's out there by former players, media members, that Joe Burrow reminds a lot of people of Tom Brady. You've played with both. Tell us about the experience of playing with Brady and then playing with Burrow.
Well, obviously, Brady, I think, is the greatest of all time, mm-hmm. as it stands now. And Joe has that capability. But Tom was always amazing to me and my
family.
Hold on.
We got to give a shout out to someone I just saw in the crowd.
Is this Cordell Volson?
Cordell Volson!
Starting left guard.
In the crowd.
Cordell Volson, number 67 in the house.
You want to bring him up?
Cordell, get up here.
He's taking some selfies, so we'll bring him up here.
Where's Gracie? Should I go to the middle?
Come in the middle.
I'm going to stand up.
I love that when you came up, the first thing people said was glass eater. So I feel like we need to explain to everyone who doesn't understand that. Offensive line coach Frank Pollock famously said in an interview when asked, what type of players are you looking for? He said, I want a bunch of glass eaters. What exactly is a glass eater to the people that are dubbed the glass eaters?
We don't really know. We think it means tough. So I've gone with that. I think it means you'd be pretty tough if you ate a bowl of glass.
Yeah.
What do you think, Cordell?
Yeah, I've been asked that a ton. So I looked it up on the internet. And on this draft website, it had something like just tough dudes that'll do whatever it takes to get the job done. So that's what Frank's looking for.
So you guys are a bunch of hashtag tough dudes. Cordell, while we have you, tell us about what your first year in Cincinnati was like. I mean, you're going to be modest, but you come to Cincinnati with who knows what expectations. I'm sure you thought you might be a starter right away, but you were a unknown name to most coming from a small program in college, and you immediately became starter and were a huge boost to an offensive line that was one of the best all year long. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to thank Cincinnati for opening, welcoming me with open arms. And it's been great. We know we came up a little bit short last year. And, we've been doing everything in our power to put in the work to not come up short this year and to bring a Super Bowl to the great city of Cincinnati.
I mean, if you are looking for Ted or if you're looking for Cordell, they're not far away from each other at all times. As someone who monitored the locker room every week during the season, what stands out to you about Cordell? Because as you know, it's not easy to come from a smaller school program and immediately become a starter and not just be a starter. You played every game and were among the best.
Played every snap. It's hard to do.
So put into perspective just what he did last year.
Well, the first thing you think about when Cordell is the size of this guy. I mean, look at him next to me here. This is a big man, but he came in and was humble and hungry and really fit into the culture and did everything we asked him to do, and it's going to be a big year, too. We got a vet now. We got a veteran O-line. We got another O-lineman coming here shortly, but, man, Cordell, you had a great year last year. We got to build off of it. An old adage in the NFL is the biggest leap a player takes is from year one to year two, so it's going to be a big year for 6'7". We got some special edition 67 hats here, too, we brought for Cordell.
I love that. Yeah, and will you be available to sign hats as well tonight?
I can do that, yes.
Okay. Before we let you go and enjoy your night, what is your favorite thing about being teammates with the guy you're sitting next to?
You know, from day one, Ted has just become like a brother to me, honestly. A big brother that has just taken me under his wing. And you know, I know that I wouldn't be where I'm at right now if it wasn't for him. And you know, he's just a great mentor, someone that has been in the league for a long time and has won a lot of football games. So I'm really thankful to have him and you know, help guide me in the right direction.
Love that. Well,
we're very lucky to have Cordell Volson. He's the better version of me in all respects. So give it up for this guy, number 67, left guard Cordell Volson. Who day?
Great job. Get out of here.
Okay, so let's get back. We had to make sure Cordell got his time. He's an important piece to this Bengals offensive line and offense that you guys are all super excited about. He'll be over there signing hats. By the way, hats are still available.
We got a lot of hats up here. We need to start selling some more hats. Let's get in line, get some hats. Ask a question if you want. We're going to be pretty open and free with
out
this.
Here.
Who let you in, Dylan?
Well, before we open it up back to the question I was asking you about Brady to Burrow. You hadn't hit on Burrow yet, and everybody here knows what he's supposedly like, but give us the untold stories as someone who not only is in the same locker room, spends probably how many hours with him? Because I know centers and quarterbacks have their own special time that they practice. Tell us some untold stories about Joe Burrow.
So, obviously, Joe Burrow, it's such an interesting context to look at a peer like that because he's probably one of the most famous people in America as it stands right now and obviously at the top of the game as a quarterback. But I think the one thing that, you know, I would like to share with people about Joe Burrow is the rapport he has with everyone in the stadium. He is the leader of this organization. That's what you want out of your quarterback. He shows up to parties, to gatherings, supports causes, and has a great relationship with everybody. So I couldn't get him to come to the Grail, though. It might be a little bit too much. It
would have. Harry, and here Orlando Brown comes.
Oh, my goodness. Here we go.
Give him a warm welcome.
Got to get a white hat for Orlando.
Ladies and gentlemen, Orlando Brown is in the building. We're going to be signing all hats after this. We're going to be signing and selling hats all night.
You're in the middle, baby.
You're in the middle.
This is you. Appreciate it.
Bring the test.
Okay. Testing.
You are all here. Yes, we are live. We're live.
We're live.
We are live.
We're live. It's live.
How you doing?
I'm great. This is my first time, like, down in this area. I went to the Reds game. Obviously, when I threw out the first pitch, but man, this is crazy.
Yeah. Oh, welcome to Cincinnati. Yeah. This is how it is.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. This is awesome. I'm guessing this is the bar everyone comes to for the games as well on Sundays.
Even more than this. Yeah. But this is the spot to be at before any Bengals or Reds game. So we're super appreciative to Holy Grail and Jim for letting us be here. Yeah. Want to make sure we shout them out. Let's talk about you.
Yeah.
You were quite the splash. I mean, nobody in Cincinnati was expecting you to be here.
Yeah.
I remember watching you on NFL Live saying, oh, that's Orlando Brown. But as someone who is supposed to give her analysis on what the Bengals are going to do, definitely didn't have you signing with the Bengals as that.
Yeah.
So tell us about the process of becoming a free agent and ending up in Cincinnati.
Wait for the mic.
We're good here.
All right. Yeah, no, it was crazy. throughout the process, you know, obviously in free agency, you've been through it a little bit before. It's a lot of unfamiliarity about where you're going to end up, who needs what, you know, guys already being shown on film. It was all these different type of things. And kind of heading into that morning for NFL Live, my agent had called me and told me that they spoke to Cincinnati. It was like around 6 a.m. that day. And, man, they were able to figure out the numbers, get everything kind of worked out. I kind of knew I'd be going playing here in Cincy by the time I was on air. We just had to kind of figure out the logistics of the deal and everything. But, I mean, it couldn't have worked out any better for me. Ended up in an amazing situation, coming into a great room, great offensive line led by this guy right here, knowing everything that he means to the franchise and the organization and everyone up front, obviously Burrow and what he's done. Joe Mix, you know, somebody I played college football with, and we came in together at OU. So, I mean, man, it truly was a special opportunity. It was clear for me that this was the best opportunity.
What do you have to say about your new teammate?
Oh, man, I couldn't be more excited that Orlando Brown's in the building. We got...
Appreciate it.
High-energy guy who fits the culture, wants to hang with the fellows. This guy's all about ball. We got a really good left tackle for a long time here in Cincinnati.
I'm right.
Yep. Before we let you go mingle with the crowd, I want to ask you a little bit about your story and how you became the player that you did. Obviously, your dad, you know, your nickname Zeus.
Yep.
Well documented. Your dad, a very big, famous player for the Ravens. You grew up watching AFC North battles.
Yeah.
How much of an inspiration was what your dad was able to do in the NFL to you? And how do you feel like you've taken the steps to grow into the player that you have?
Yeah. No, he was such a huge inspiration for me. You know, it's crazy. Growing up, he didn't allow me to play football. So in second grade, my mom snuck me on a football team. And my dad found out, pulled me off the team, didn't even let me turn in my helmet and shoulder pads, bought the helmet and shoulder pads, told me he didn't want me playing. And, you know, fast forward however many years later, I'm 13 years old on the phone crying with him and begging for the opportunity to be able to play the sport. And, you know, he just, you know, made me make him a promise that, you know, I have a Hall of Fame career and I play at least 10 years on this league. And at the time, I made that commitment, not necessarily knowing everything that goes with it. But, you know, it's been going really well for me since that day. And, you know, he plays such a huge inspiration as far as my understanding of preparation and what's important to the game. You know, for so long, like I said, I wasn't able to play. So I had to read. I had to study the game. I'm watching all of his games and watching film on older guys with somewhat of an idea of how it's supposed to be played. And, you know, that played a very large impact in kind of who I am today. But, I mean, I could talk about it all day, what he meant to me and still what he means to me and the inspiration that he gave me.
Ted, how familiar were you with Orlando Brown? Obviously, he wasn't your teammate, but I'm sure you're aware of the other premier offensive linemen. And how exactly did you find out that the team – did you find out on Twitter like the rest of us?
Twitter. But we talked right away, though. Yeah. And we have a mutual teammate and friend in Joe Tooney, left guard for the Chiefs, and just got a amazing report about what we're getting here and it's exceeded everyone's expectations. We have a good team coming into it, and we need to play to it.
Yep.
Did the Bengals shoot up your interest list because of how many games recently the Chiefs and the Bengals have played? You're very aware of the offense and the team the Bengals have. What was your first reaction when you realized this could go from being one of your rivals to now your new home?
Yeah, I mean, I was excited for the opportunity. At the end of the day, listen, I love to play football. Mm-hmm. And I love a great offensive line room. I love a great offensive line coach. I love blocking for great quarterbacks. I'm spoiled as hell. I love winning football games. And, I mean, like I said, this is the best opportunity for me. And I think, you know... Appreciate it. This franchise gave me the opportunity and has given me the opportunity to come in and be myself. And that's what was really most important to me.
When you talk about the impact that Ted's had, can you tell us a little bit about what it's like to be Ted Karras's teammate?
Oh, man. I mean, it's crazy. This guy, you know, he talks about me bringing the energy every day. But, man, this is the source. And this is the OG in the room. This is the guy that we're all, you know, looking and leaning on. I got a ton of respect for him. As he said, I played with two of his teammates, one from college and Nick Allegretti, another one, Joe Tooney, that he played with in New England, was his roommate. And the way that they spoke about him before I even got here, you know, just throughout the last 2 years in KC, I already knew the type of guy he was. And so, I mean, man, I can't say enough great things about him.
Well, before we let both of you go and mingle and sign some hats,
yep.
Is there any particular nonprofit community endeavor that's really important to you that you wanted to speak about that Cincinnati Bengals fans should know about?
Yeah. I'll be doing a ton of work with JDRF, the Juvenile Diabetes Association here. And I've done a ton of work with them before. It's a cause that hits home for me. My brother being a type 1 diabetic, losing my father to ketoacidosis, which is a form of a diabetic coma. And Mark Andrews, one of my best friends, who's a type 1 diabetic. So, man, it's a cause that hits home for me that I'll be working with here in Cincy.
Awesome. Ted, I'll let you close this out.
Hey, thank you all so much for coming out. Thank you, Orlando and Kelsey. You can find this podcast online at Cincinnati.com. We still have a ton of hats up here. We got stickers. We're going to be hanging out. We will fulfill anyone's request for pictures or autographs tonight. So thank you guys so much. Go Reds. Hooday.
Appreciate it.
TheCincyHat.com.